because we can't think globally about problem solving in this arena unless we understand where everyone is coming from. And that's what's so unique about Keystone. When we build a dialogue, you know, they start from the ground up, start with fact-based, science-based, level the playing field, and then build from there so that people have a common language and you understand the common facts, and then you're solving the problem from the ground up in that way.
Welcome to the Keynotes Podcast and our final episode in this series on Keystone's impact on energy issues as part of our year-long initiative celebrating the Keystone Policy Center's 50th anniversary. I'm your host, Marcus Chavez. Over the past two episodes, we've journeyed through Keystone's transformative impact on the energy sector. We began with the early days exploring how Keystone tackled the pressing issues of nuclear waste management and helped tribal communities take control of their energy futures. We also focused on the Keystone Energy Board, a revolutionary forum that brought together leaders from across the energy spectrum to address critical issues like transmission policy and grid modernization. We heard firsthand accounts of how the board's innovative approach not only shaped policy, but also fostered a culture of trust and mutual respect that continues to influence energy governance today. Today, we turn our attention to Keystone's enduring legacy in the energy sector. We'll explore how its collaborative model has driven innovation and continues to play a pivotal role in addressing the challenges of our time, particularly climate change and the global push for decarbonization. We'll reflect on the lasting impact of Keystone's work and look ahead to the future of energy innovation. How has Keystone's approach to collaboration and consensus building set the stage for a more sustainable energy landscape? What lessons can we carry forward as we tackle the urgent need for climate action? Let's dive into these questions and more. For over five decades, Keystone has played a pivotal role in addressing some of the most pressing energy challenges. Its unique approach to fostering dialogue and collaboration has not only shaped policies, but also set the stage for a more sustainable and equitable energy future. David Owens highlights the long-term impact of Keystone's work in transforming energy practices and fostering a culture of proactive policymaking.
And he got us together. We would spend 3 and 4 and 5 days at Keystone, getting to know one another, getting to be comfortable with one another. And then once we have reached that level of comfort, we begin to trust one another and we begin to be much more open and much more collaborative and much more sensitive. And so Keystone was the one that started all of that. And I reflect back. I took that model of Keystone, and when I was at Edison Electric Institute, we were having challenges with regulators. We were getting rate cases, getting costs disallowed in many regulatory proceedings. And so I envisioned, why don't we try to do something that Keystone did? So we decided to have a collaboration with regulators and with CEOs and with people from Wall Street. And the benefit of that collaboration, again, using the Keystone model, was you begin to get educated. Regulators begin to understand how their decisions impacted the incremental cost of capital, because the financial community would talk extensively about it. And we would begin to understand the pressures that regulators had. Again, this was the Keystone model that we use. It mitigates some of the tension because you get to understand one another's points of view. And what you're doing is you're taking out some of those controversial issues out of regulatory proceedings, and you're beginning to focus on those issues where you have unique differences.
This proactive approach has been particularly crucial in tackling the multifaceted challenges of climate change and the transition to a low-carbon economy. As the global focus shifts towards addressing climate change, Keystone adapted its collaborative model to tackle the complex issues surrounding decarbonization. By bringing together stakeholders from across the energy spectrum, Keystone facilitated critical conversations that paved the way for innovative discussions. In the late 1980s, media attention increasingly focused on global climate change, generating significant public confusion. In response to rising media attention and scientific uncertainty, Keystone organized a steering committee in 1989 to evaluate the need for a national dialogue on global climate change. The committee agreed that a dialogue was timely and should initially focus on national energy policy due to its significant impact on greenhouse gas emissions and the economy. Over an 18-month period, the dialogue involved around 50 participants from diverse sectors, including government, industry, and academia. A dozen years later, Keystone led another dialogue on global climate change, which gathered about 30 representatives from environmental groups, industry, and research communities to discuss global and U.S. efforts to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. The primary goals were to review the global carbon reductions needed to achieve specific atmospheric concentration levels and also examine the effect of carbon pricing. The results of the dialogue gave companies clear targets about emission limits so they could make significant and early investments for achieving reductions, investments that we are seeing now starting to pay off. Tom Kuhn reflects on how Keystone's dialogues, coupled with his concern about the energy sector's reputation as a major polluter, helped convince him and other industry leaders and policymakers to take a more active role in combating climate change.
I came to EEI as a strong advocate for the electric utility industry. And I was fairly disturbed by the reputation we had about being the most polluting industry in the country, and indeed maybe even in the world. And then there was an additional issue that was brewing and coming up called climate change, which was not being received warmly by my board. And at that point, I kind of entered Keystone, and I began to participate in the dialogues. For me, they were dialogues with environmental leaders, with policy makers, with heads of universities and think tanks and other organizations. And they were designed to find a way to bring people to a solution perspective and to try and find solutions that and pass forward. So I think obviously one of the big things that was on the table was the environmental issues surrounding the electric utility industry. And so I went back and as these dialogues progressed and encouraged my industry to get on the offense on environmental issues and to take on issues like sulfur and NOx and particulates, which we did in a major way and reduced them by 90% or more. We entered into negotiations on mercury and the Clean Power Plan and became active on climate legislation. And so a lot of the things that I took into those issues were really as a result of the Keystone Dialogues, which because they were in the front of all those things.
The work on climate and energy continues even more recently. In 2021, Keystone partnered with the Great Plains Institute to convene experts from different sectors to develop recommendations for near-term federal policies to drive economy-wide decarbonization. Dialogue participants were organized into three working groups focused on power, transportation, and agriculture. While they're organized by sector, the recommendations reflected many months of cross-sector dialogue. Doug Scott, who is now the chair of the Illinois Commerce Commission, but at the time was vice president of strategic initiatives at the Great Plains Institute, explains how common agreement on climate change rather than divisiveness on the issue is what inspired the dialogue.
I've been on the energy board for Keystone for a long time, and we get periodic updates from the Hill. And it struck me at one point that a lot of the discussions we were having were all of the things that they couldn't talk about just because they're fairly intractable issues. And I thought Keystone, much like Great Plains Institute, where I work, is really good about bringing people together who have very different opinions on a variety of subjects and trying to see if there's some kind of consensus or some kind of way to try to bridge some of those gaps. And so my thinking was, wouldn't it be good if we could get a group of folks together that brought very different both disciplines that they worked on in the energy field, but also very different opinions about what some of the solutions would be, and see if there was something that we could do that would be practical, would be able to drive decarbonization, but also be appealing to both sides of the aisle. And so that was the genesis for the discussions.
The dialogue produced a final report that included a series of recommendations as well as a supporting report. A subgroup of the dialogue called the Carbon Bank Task Force also submitted recommendations to the U.S. Department of Agriculture to create a carbon bank that would provide incentive for farmers, ranchers, and foresters to reduce atmospheric concentration of heat-trapping gases. Looking ahead, Keystone's collaborative model remains as relevant as ever. With emerging challenges such as grid resilience, renewable energy integration, and the electrification of the economy, the need for inclusive and forward-thinking dialogue is paramount. Here's Jane Lewis Raymond, the founder of Hilltop Strategies and longtime Energy Board member.
Keystone is unique in that it gets us out of our echo chambers. If you go to example, you know, I worked for a very large industry trade association for years, and it was a joy to work there. But you find sometimes when you're at those meetings, you're inside an echo chamber because you're part of your industry. And that's okay. We all learn from that. But stepping back from that and being able to attend an energy board session really gives you the input from the other sectors and other pieces of the equation that you need to think about, because we can't think globally about problem solving in this arena unless we understand where everyone is coming from. And that's what's so unique about Keystone. When we build a dialogue, you know, they start from the ground up, start with fact-based, science-based, level the playing field, and then build from there so that people have a common language and you understand the common facts, and then you're solving the problem from the ground up in that way.
Phil Sharp underscores the importance of Keystone's approach in addressing future energy challenges.
And Keystone has managed to play a role of saying, hey, let's take some of those people out of that immediate arena of conflict and see if we can get them to start acting differently and listening and talking to each other. And sometimes it doesn't pay off. It doesn't resolve some. But very often what I noticed was we have a dialogue on nuclear waste or whatever it was that I participated in. And it did not come up with the solution. But what was interesting is that individuals and contending points of view could talk afterward. It set up a process in which they could actually get along. And what people find over and over is, you know what? Sometimes we have to fight it out. But most often we have to figure out how we're going to work together to keep the corporation operating, to make the NGO work, to get the environmental regulations, whatever it is. And that is where I see both the intellectual looking forward and the bringing together. It's a combination.
This legacy of collaboration not only honors Keystone's past, but also serves as a blueprint for the future, ensuring that diverse voices continue to shape energy policy and innovation. As we close this chapter of Keystone's journey, it's clear that its impact extends far beyond the policies and projects it has influenced. By fostering a culture of collaboration and trust, Keystone has inspired a new generation of energy leaders committed to addressing the energy challenges of tomorrow. Jane Lewis Raymond shares her insight about how the Keystone model can be used to tackle issues at all levels of governance, from federal to state to local.
You know, I do think, and I tell young people when they come into the Energy Board, this is such a critical organization to take with you. And I think too that, you know, I was just speaking about dialogues, but I've also seen the incredible power that Keystone has brought to individual companies when they've reached out in the past to say, we have a local problem or we have a state issue that we really need the dialogue model to sit down with at a more local level and do a Keystone purposeful dialogue locally. So maybe still with the company, with NGOs, with government officials, but at a more targeted point of view. And I don't want to lose track of that, because I think we always think about the Energy Board as, you know, this great kind of think tank dialogue, but Keystone Energy Board processes and dialogue processes have been known to be used by some of the largest utilities in our country to solve what they feel like were intractable problems at their local level and help them overcome them.
As we look to the future, Keystone's commitment to collaborative problem solving offers hope and a clear path forward for addressing the world's most pressing energy challenges. As we wrap up this series of episodes as part of Keystone Policy Center's 50th anniversary, it's clear that Keystone's legacy in the energy sector is one of enduring impact and innovation. From its early work in nuclear waste management to its pivotal role in fostering energy development on tribal lands, Keystone has consistently demonstrated the power of collaboration in tackling complex challenges. We've explored how the Keystone Energy Board became a model for inclusive dialogue, shaping policies that continue to influence the energy landscape today. We've also seen how Keystone's forward-thinking approach to climate change and decarbonization has positioned it as a leader in addressing one of the most pressing issues of our time. But Keystone's work is far from over. As new challenges emerge, from grid modernization and renewable energy integration to the broader push for sustainability, Keystone's collaborative model will be more crucial than ever. Its ability to bring diverse stakeholders together to find common ground will continue to drive meaningful change. Looking ahead, Keystone's commitment to innovation, trust building, and consensus will not only shape the future of energy policy, but also inspire the next generation of leaders. Leaders who will carry forward the lessons learned from Keystone's decades of experience to create a more sustainable energy future. Keynotes is a production of the Keystone Policy Center, a 501c3 nonprofit organization based out of Keystone, Colorado, which for 50 years has empowered leaders to reach common higher ground. If you would like to learn more about the Keystone Policy Center, please visit our website at keystone.org.